In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. When we think of the beauty of the motherhood of Mary, all the infinite tenderness, and the closeness of this bond between this mother and this child, one as a child, willing to be a child, but one utterly dependent on the other, and the other completely giving herself to the need of that child. The protectiveness, the desire that no harm come to her child, even if it should cost her her very life. And Jesus, he's often pictured with his arm around his mother's neck and his infant face pressed to hers, his cheek against her cheek, as children often do with their mother, in an action which is both one of love and possessiveness. This is my mom. The greatness and the eternalness of their love for each other, and Mary's life in the service of her God, now her child, behold the handmaid of the Lord. In today's gospel, we bring to mind Jesus' first miracle. The people in the town, they knew who Jesus was. He was the son of Joseph and Mary. He was the carpenter. He was the one that fixed my door last week. He was the one that's making that plowshare for Joachim. But they didn't really know who he was. They didn't know that he was the Son of God. And Jesus was there also with his disciples. And it's fitting that this first miracle happens, takes place at a marriage feast, a time of joy, a time of celebration. And Jesus would often compare the kingdom of his Father to a wedding feast, a great wedding feast, with much feasting and celebration. And in the East, these wedding feasts were quite big. It wasn't just they got married and then for a few hours in the afternoon they had a little reception and done. No, it went on for days sometimes. And generally, everyone that was in the town was invited. So it was a big to-do, very, very big to-do. I needed a lot of wine and a lot of food and many, many guests. And we can see the symbolism of this gathering of everyone in the town as the gathering of almost like the whole world. It's everyone, it's mankind. But at some time in this celebration, the wine runs out. And we can imagine the servants, they're very worried. This is like the main thing of a wedding feast, is make sure you have enough wine. It's almost as bad as not having a wedding cake at the end to cut. Like, who blundered this one? And who's going to tell the very hard word to say in Latin, the architectinus, the master domo, what has gone wrong and that we're out of wine? So they're all in this consternation. And yet, there's also a symbolism there. The symbolism of fallen man, who has lost or has ran out of, in a way, the wine of divine grace. They've lost it. And Mary can see, she sees the waiters whispering to one another, and, oh, we're out of wine. Wine? You know, what are we going to do? Are you sure there's none left? Did you check all the vases? You know, there's one over there. Check it. Yes, they're all empty. And perhaps someone was saying, it's all the fishermen that our Lord brought, that Jesus brought, you know. But anyways, the wine's gone. And yet Mary sees this dilemma that they have. She hears that this handmaid of the Lord, the second Eve, or the true Eve. Adam called Eve the mother of all living. And it's Mary who pleads for all of us. They have no wine. Then comes Jesus' very curious response to her. Woman, what is that to me and to thee? my hour is not yet come. That seems strange, because he does not say mother, and he also seems to say, this is no concern of mine or yours. Just let it alone. Just let it alone. But in fact, every word of his was heavy with meaning. For the two of them stood on the threshold of their quiet life, their intimate life of Nazareth, and the action that would start here would begin his sacrifice and end ultimately in his death on the cross. Once before, God the Father had asked Mary to partake in the salvation of men by asking her to be the mother of the Savior and embrace all the sufferings that it would entail. And as I've mentioned before, Mary knew she spent years and years in the temple studying the scriptures, studying the prophecies, and these prophecies of what the Savior would suffer flooding to her mind. And yet she bows her head and opens her heart and says, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." And now we have the Son asks in a most solemn manner, "Woman, the woman, the true Eve, mother of the living, think well what you ask. What this means for the two of us." Perhaps at that moment, the words of Simeon came back again to Our Lady. As he said, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, forgotten, cast out, despised. And thy own soul's sword shall pierce." And so Jesus asks, "Woman, mother, will you consent again to unite your heart to mine and to suffer all things for the love of God and for souls? Do you wish to start this now?" In not exactly the same way, but in a way, the fate of the whole world is again hanging in the balance. And this time the Son reveals his plan to Mary. And we can see her as she looks into Jesus' eyes, and perhaps with a little nod or a bow of her head, she opens her heart and says once again, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord." And then Mary says to the waiter, and this should be the doctrine of all Christians, should be and is contained in a certain way the sentence and the summary of all perfection, of the road to perfection, of how I become a saint. She just says, "Whatsoever he shall say to thee, do ye." He is the purifier of your soul, the author of all grace, all sanctity. Do you wish to see miracles of grace in your life? Do whatever he shall ask you. He may ask you to give up this certain attachment. He may ask you to forgive someone you feel you cannot forgive, to love someone you cannot love. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. He may ask you to suffer, and that greatly at times. Behold your handmaid. He may ask that all your earthly happiness be taken away from you, from your life, till you feel you are crushed with sorrow. Behold your handmaid. He may ask you to be crucified and even die with him. Be it done unto me according to your will. And so by following the example of our Queen and Mother, Jesus will be able to change our love, which is like water, like the tears of our eyes, into wine. And not just any wine, but the very best wine. The very best wine that is. The wine which rejoices the heart of God. We also have an example from the waiters. when we think about them, they're servants, yes, in a household, but they're not Jesus and Mary's servants. They don't know Jesus. If they do know Jesus, all they know is that he's a carpenter. And yet, Mary's asking them to have faith, to trust in him. And these water pots that they had to fill up, they weren't just little pitchers that held a couple liters apiece. We're talking about gallons and gallons of water. And our Lord says, fill them up. Fill them all up. You think the servants would have been like, why don't we do one first and see if it works out? No, they filled them all up. And then our Lord says, okay, draw it now and take to the chief steward of the feast. And we remember the servants just a few minutes before were kind of worried and afraid among themselves, who's going to tell the majordomo that we don't have any wine? And now he wants us to take the water, which he says is made into wine, and offer it? That's like an insult to injury. Somebody's definitely going to get flogged tonight, you know? No, all of them, by listening to Our Lady, she says, whatever he asks you to do, do it. In our life, we will have times when nothing makes sense. Nothing. Our Lord is asking us to do this. It's like, why? It's so much suffering. It's so much pain. You could have easily changed it. You could change it in an instant. And God says, I don't want you to just have this one suffering. I want you to fill up all the vessels of your life with this. And trust that I will turn it into wine for you. Turn all your tears into solid gold. But it's through following Our Lady. Our Lady said that to them. Did they hesitate? No. As soon as our Lord said, fill up those water pots with water, they did it. Take to the chief steward of the feast, they did it. By faith in God, by letting him do to us whatever he wills, we will be sanctified. So let us unite ourselves to Our Lady, to ask her to fill our lives up with this submission, this giving completely of ourselves to Almighty God, this opening of our heart and saying, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me as you will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.